You're listening to Veterans of the Native American Occupation of Alcatraz, which took place from November 20th, 1969 to June 11th, 1971. This is Lenny Foster.
Well, it's always important to get the word out from the people, from the community. And there was a radio station that was making broadcasts from the island, and John Trudell, I believe, was a disc jockey, and he was a very articulate and spoke very eloquent on our behalf, and he was the disc jockey, and it broadcast through the Bay Area, and so to get our feelings and our ideas and who we are as a people out into the community for support. It was very important to have that support. It's very important to have an understanding who we were.
Again, Robert Freegalvin.
Myself and Peter Bluecloud, we used to put out the newspapers, magazines off Alcatraz. We had a newsletter, and we produced four of them off the island. And in there, we put the proclamation, we put the different support letters from unions, and we put different demands in there. So they're all in there written somewhere, yeah. But I think the bigger result of that occupation was that it gathered all the little lights of resistance that were all over, not quite blown out yet, to the island, or gave them hope, because I know it gave people in South America and Central America hope, or acknowledging that Indians are still in that biggest capitalist, imperialist, racist country that has done so much damage to the planet, and still there resisting. I think that was a big shot in the arm for a lot of folks, a real spiritual awakening. Same with people in Canada. They got a lot of energy from that occupation, hope, and direction that they too could also resist still.
We weren't just a bunch of rabble-rousers, long-haired rabble-rousers. You know, we've always been termed or defined that we're militants or radicals or renegades. Or nowadays, it's labeled as terrorists. We're none of those. We're very spiritual people. We have a very profound understanding of the forces of nature and our obligations to the community and our families, and the responsibilities we have to clean air and clean water and the environment and all living things that live on Mother Earth. So we recognize these responsibilities. And again, to me, that understanding, that awareness began at Alcatraz Island.
Good evening, this is John Trudell welcoming you to Indian Land Radio, Indian Land Alcatraz Island, on behalf of the Indians of all tribes. Tonight we have with us Marilyn Miracle. She's a 21-year-old Mohawk, and Mr. Earl Livermore, the coordinator of the Alcatraz movement. And we'll be discussing, touching lightly upon, a visit from Mr. Robert Robertson. He's the national director of He's the executive director of the National Council on Indian Opportunities, and he met with us on the island yesterday and this morning, and we will have a further meeting with him Thursday morning. Well, first of all, there's been a little bit happened since we were on Tuesday evening, and I'd like to kind of bring this all up to date. Number one is that I guess some of the papers in this area have released a story that we have been having a leadership problem on the island. And I would like to clear this up, verify our side of the story. It's the Indian way that we don't have one central leader. We have a council on the island that is elected by the people. The people make all the basic policy decisions. The council acts on behalf of the people. If there's a major decision that has to be made, the council will take this information to the people in a general meeting, and everyone has an opportunity to express their opinion and to be heard, and then the majority votes on it, and the council acts on this. And as far as any power struggles internally on the island, I haven't really seen any. We may have had a few disagreements here and there, but then when you've got 150 people living together, you're lucky to get away with a few disagreements. And also, Richard's daughter, Yvonne, passed away Wednesday morning, I believe it was. And Richard is returning to his studies at San Francisco State.
He will be working with the Native Studies program at San Francisco State, and if needed, he will come out and assist us. But right now, to recruit more students out there and increase their program out at State. I'd like to say myself that within just a month, we have gone on in amazing, deliberate action in getting this, our council and our whole governing body structured. We do have our council, and underneath the council is the coordinator. We're working to line up a board of trustees of all Indian people. These are people that will be coming from different parts of the country that are perhaps in the education field, and also we have a national ad hoc committee. These are to get a non-Indian support, and we also have our various committees. So we have a number of programs that are going on the island, such as our clinic and, well, our radio station and our school system. So we have really gone on, and I think we've accomplished a great deal within just a month, and even getting our bylaws and our constitution developed. And so
I think we're more united than people give us credit for, and this is why I did want to clear up this deal about a leadership problem on the island, an eternal struggle. There are no struggles on the island. There is one big one, but it's, you know, not against each other. This is against the government and our right to get the island. And also, a bit of news from last week is that the island, we are incorporating.
Robert Free Galvin.
Everything evolved kind of without a plan. The actual demands were kind of like, say you want it for an educational institution. I think the whole point was just, can we actually just do it? I wasn't there at the original occupation. I was there about 2 weeks later. But what I know is that politics, like all movements, they fell into different sides of and different directions that things should go. And it helped to destroy the unity that was there, unbeknownst to a lot of people. But the people that came and got the Indians of all tribes for help kept coming back and forth there. And that's the real secret underground thing that happened that fueled the resistance in so many places and sparked them up. That's the important thing. The demand to have a university there, it was their cultural center, yeah. They were never going to give it up. And there were some that continued with that. I think we should have gone for just for what it is and gotten the ferry boats that take people there who do a million or so visitors and just grabbed all the money to support movements. That would have been, of course, I'm just joking.
And I participated later on in the Trail of Brooklyn Treaties caravan, the BIA takeover in Washington, D.C. I participated in the 7-to-1 day occupation at Wounded Knee. I was there the whole time. I participated in the longest walk. In this present day, I take all those experiences and use it as part of my work counseling Native prisoners and the prisons that I mentioned and I visit as part of my work. I conduct sweat lodge ceremonies, I conduct pipe ceremonies, and I make cell side visits to death row. And one of my passion at this time for the last 25 years has been visiting my brother, Leonard Peltier, in Leavenworth Federal Prison. Now he's at the United States Penitentiary, Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. So I've been visiting him as often as I can, maybe 3 times a year. I conduct sweat lodge ceremony for him, the cleansing and purification ceremony that's very important for him and others that are confined in these maximum security prisons. We use the chinupa and tzitnato, the mountain tobacco, to pray with. So I think about his situation, think a lot about him, what he's doing, and or how he took the fall for Indian people in this country, because the FBI had to pin the shooting on someone, and it was convenient for him because he was looked upon as one of the leaders in the American Indian movement. He happened to be at Oglala, South Dakota, that day that shooting went down. Leonard was found guilty on fabricated evidence, and now he's been incarcerated for over 31 years for a crime that the government can't prove, and they fabricated the evidence. So that's something that I'm doing as a continuation of my work in the movement. Alcatraz Island, Trail of Broken Treaties, Wounded Knee, Longest Walk. Now I'm involved with the International Indian Treaty Council also as a board of director, and I've participated in these meetings in Geneva, Switzerland, taking the issues into the international arena, and we were successful. The indigenous people were successful after 20 to 30 years of hard work on the Declaration of Human Rights for Indigenous People. So we were successful. And to me, a lot of that all began November 1969 in Alcatraz Island, when some young Indian students, they saw they had to do something with their physical, their bodies, to actually put their lives on the line and stand up for human rights, civil rights, Indian rights, treaty rights. And then that movement still continues today, and I think the movement has inspired people all over the country, all over the world. It's become an international movement. And I think that's something that happened as a result of our spirituality.
That was Lenny Foster, and this is Robert Free Galvin.
I've been asked to write a book for 30 years. I was under contract, but it's been busy. I'm trying to clear my deck to write a book. Because the last few of us that are alive, all my buddies, I look around, all my sisters, they're dead, they're in jail, they're very unhealthy, or they're into substance abuse. When you're in a movement like that, you become isolated. Each one of us, as we knew each other across the country, they're like little Alcatrazes. They're like islands where we could remember and know a glow of light, and we can visit each other and find strength. But they're very... very few out there now. So it's really important somebody out there in the viewership could sponsor someone like myself or other veterans to write their memoirs and get the story down. It would really be helpful. I'm trying to do it for my grandkids, but that's a need out there. The people that write things now are academics who are, of course, usually privileged, and do it so sterile and dry, they never get the story. Only ones facts and figures. And they think that's history.
This is AFA White Man Killer, recorded in June 1971 after the eviction.
I was in a room in my apartment with several other brothers and sisters on the island, and we were pursuing an Indian custom, and we were doing craft work.
Can you tell us what happened this afternoon when you first saw the U.S. Marshals?
A friend of mine went downstairs, and he called back up that there were people on the island with guns. And so the first reaction was to go down and see what happened, see what's happening. So we ran downstairs, and I saw two men with rifles. And as I came right on out the door, the whole area, the whole island was covered with men with rifles.
What did the marshals tell you?
They told us that under some maritime organization or something, that they were going to remove us from the island so that they could repair the lighthouse.
What was the general reaction and told you that they were going to take you away?
Well, we were told, the group that I was arrested with, or put together with, was told to wait up against the wall while the helicopter landed. The helicopter never did land, but it was continually flying overhead. And we were being guarded by a number of men with the rifles and the belly clubs. And the belly clubs were being pulled out of their sheaths, leather sheaths. And so the word gets out across the United States and Canada that all the Indian people who have ever been connected with Alcatraz or know something of it will come back, and we will retake the island just as soon as we can.
If there is so much suspicion among the 15 people that were there...
Well, that was a reaction of shock. But for many of us, it was outrage, because there were some of us who have been involved in different Indian movements, and we have been arrested for trespassing on a white man's land. So we feel that this was an unjust action, trespassing upon our land.
Well, what happened after the marshals?
We were told to wait in a group while they cleared out the rest of the buildings. And after they had rounded everybody up, we were told to go down to the dock and to stay in a group. And there they herded us together on the dock. And then they separated the women and the children, and they were put on another boat. And so the five of us men that were left, you know, were kept together in a group. And then we were put on a boat separate from the women and the children. And we were all taken to Treasure Island. And at no time were we notified that we were being arrested. We were not allowed to make any phone calls, and yet we were still being held in the custody of some type.
Now, they offered to put you in housing here in San Francisco, is that right?
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
We refused because we felt that they were trying to separate us.
None of you were arrested, is that correct? Or mistreated in any way?
No.
Send us a report for the Alcatraz movement. Why were there only 15 people on the island today when the federal officials came?
Because many of the brothers and sisters who have lived on Alcatraz are continuing their work in other Indian movements. They have gone on after rebuilding themselves on Alcatraz. They have refilled themselves with the spirit of doing something. And so they themselves have gone off to assist in other Indian movements.
Robert, what gives you hope these days?
What's happening to Bolivia? What's happening in Ecuador, Peru, wherever the indigenous people are, and when they're a majority, they're now taking off that colonial yoke and shackles and self-determining that they are the majority. It's like the South Africa apartheid system, you know, and taking control of their countries and resources, telling the United States and other European countries that they're not their backyard just to be exploited for their resources. And I also look sadly at my grandchildren, what they're up against. They're up against the media bombardment that's affecting them in their habits of eating, of their habits of values. So those are my worries, and that they will not resist and stop the exploitive corporations of the planet that are destroying the planet. And they'll have effect on their all the generations now, from global warming to the forest getting chopped up.
Lenny Foster.
I was out there earlier this year in October. I participated in a sunrise ceremony where I spoke, and I plan to be out there for the 40th anniversary and see some old friends. And like I said, many of my friends and I have passed on, so I'm 59 years old now, so, you know, it's 40 years, 39 years ago, that was a long time, and but I've been involved in this movement. With my start at Alcatraz Island, I can plan to continue to be active until the day I die, so I'm looking forward to reuniting with some of the vets and some of the people who were there.
The real truth has yet to come out and be shared with everyone. You have the PBS series coming out on America Indians pretty soon. There's a 5-part series. They're not allowed to use the word genocide, so that's going to be a whole myth. They're going to focus on AIM and Wounded Knee, and that will be propagating a myth that AIM was at Alcatraz. No, it wasn't. AIM was part of Wounded Knee, not all of Wounded Knee. And AIM is a good bunch. But it's that kind of clarity that people don't understand, that there was a lot of grassroots resistant groups at all these occupations that never get recognized, acknowledged. And I don't want to see my life end with not any of those folks having been recognized. to that end, I'd like to write a book to highlight people like Angel Martinez, a P-man, and that was that mostly every one of these occupations who carried the most weapons and things like that. Government knew we had weapons most of the times, and they pretended, everybody pretended like it was some kind of Indians with sticks ready to beat down some confrontation fence. No, there was quite an understanding, but you don't hear about it. The government didn't want to highlight it too much. So, yeah, I think we have to get the real story out and stop letting PBS, which is controlled by the government, again produce a myth. And we have to write our own books and our own stories.
This recording was made by a Pacifica radio reporter May 31st, 1970.
Alcatraz is in the hearts and minds of all the Indian people, young or old. Sure, we caught the attention of the public at large when we came on Alcatraz. They were looking at the moon at the time that we were over here in Alcatraz. And now they're looking at Cambodia. When the hell are these people going to look at this country? It just recently became a fad. When will it be a part of life, a way of life? When will they live and understand what this country is all about? And the Indian people are going to play a prominent role in this country. They are going to be the guardians of this land. If nobody else wants it, if you people want to exploit it, then damn it, will be the goddamn people that are going to be the guardians of this country. And this is our battle cry. We've tried to go to schools. We've learned the education. We learned the words. But you know, we can't learn the value system. It's too complex. Because the people, the white people, don't even understand it. And you know something? They better start listening to the Indian people in this country, North and South America, because they're the people of this country. They've lived here for millions of years, maybe give or take a couple million. But they lived here. They understand what this country's all about. Since 1492 to the present, November 9th, 1969, Indian people have been held in bondage. Alcatraz was released from that bondage. And in the future, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have another word coming out. It's going to be reparations. That's what it's going to be. The Indian people are going to say to you, plant your trees, plant those trees that you've taken from this country. Undam the streams. And let other people live. They want to live. People want to understand each other. What holds them? What is this thing that holds them from understanding each other? I'll tell you what it is. It's greed. It's greed for the material aspect of life. When the hell are they going to understand how to live life?
For more information about the occupation of Alcatraz, go to the Circle A radio page on the KABU website, www.kabu.fm/circle_radio.